In the last several broadcasts, we read and discussed some of the Bible passages about the Jerusalem of prophecy. And I also made the point that it is impossible to understand the writings of the New Testament or the New Scriptures unless one has an understanding of things written in the Old. This month's packet of literature for you includes my book, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. It is a study of Bible prophecy relating to what John wrote about in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. John begins his description of the vision this way, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven prepared as a bride for her husband." Then follows the rest of that chapter and the first few verses of the next, as John describes what the angel showed him, which John called the holy city, New Jerusalem. I am going to continue that study today, the book I mentioned, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. This is not large, only 36 pages, so it can be read rather easily in a half hour or so, and yet it will give you all of the important Bible passages relating to both the Old City of Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21. Since the establishment of the Jewish state in 1948 in the Arab territories in Old Palestine, there have been hundreds of books written and tens of thousands of sermons preached about how the Old City of Jerusalem will eventually become the seat of the government of the world. The Jews themselves hope that it will be. Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of the Jewish nation in Palestine, about 20 years ago suggested the United Nations headquarters be moved from New York City to Jerusalem so that what he called the Parliament of Mankind could be set up to rule the world from the old city of Jerusalem. Christians who have studied the origin and works of the United Nations know that it was communistic in its foundations, anti-Christ in its philosophy, and anti-Christian in its application. Any world government growing out of the United Nations organizations would be, and is, the fulfillment of any prophecies having to do with the Antichrist or anti-Christian rule over the kings of the earth, not with any rule of Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem of Bible prophecy. But sad to say, many Christian ministers, evangelists, and radio preachers have fallen for the error that the Old Jerusalem is somehow related to the fulfillment of Bible prophecies about New Jerusalem. My book, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem, will dispel any such myths you might have on that subject. Let's read a few verses in Revelation 21 and 22 first. Later, we'll go to other parts of the New Testament and to the Old Testament to see if we can get a clearer picture of just what this New Jerusalem is supposed to be. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." So this seems to speak of a time after Jesus Christ, when the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, meaning God, will dwell with them. Hebrews 8, verses 1 and 2 call Jesus a minister of the true tabernacle. Both Isaiah and Peter write of this new heaven and new earth, and we'll be reading from them in later broadcasts. Verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This would have to mean the time after the resurrection of the dead, since it says there will be no more death. Chapter 20 of Revelation, the chapter just preceding this, relates a vision John had of the lake of fire and the devil being cast into it. And in verse 11, John writes that he saw the great white throne, and, quote, "the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Verses 12 to the end of Revelation 20 speak of the dead standing before God, of the sea giving up the dead which were in it, of death and hell delivering up the dead. Then in verse 14, death and hell, or Hades, are cast into the lake of fire. In reading these chapters together, it is logical to assume that the phrase in Revelation 20 and verse 11, that the earth and the heaven fled away from the face of him that sat on the great white throne, are connected with that which followed, where John saw, quote, "a new heaven and a new earth," and at the same time saw, quote, "the holy city, New Jerusalem." Because Revelation 20 is often referred to as the millennial chapter, it is usually therefore assumed that everything John saw here will come to pass in the millennium, which of course they say is all yet future. Be that as it may now, my purpose is not immediately to establish any time frame, but rather to establish where this New Jerusalem is, and then to search out what it represents, what it really is. Remember, all of these things John records in the book of Revelation are Holy Ghost-inspired descriptions of visions. They are not to be taken literally. In other words, when John saw a woman on a scarlet beast in Revelation 17, we are not to expect some actual female to appear at some future time riding a red beast. No, the woman represents something else. In that case, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, as described in Revelation 17:18. In the same manner, when John saw a lake of fire, it need not be a literal fire contained in some depression in the earth. Nor when he saw books being opened, they need not be literal books from which someone must read. To know for certain that all is symbolism in the book of Revelation, one should be familiar with the whole book, and I know some of my listeners are not, so I would suggest you take the time to read it. You'll read of angels standing on clouds with vials in their hands, pouring their contents over the earth. You'll read of angels standing on the corners of the earth, holding the four winds so they cannot blow. You'll read of John seeing riders on four horses, one white, another red, another black, and the last pale, and it says the rider of the last one is named Death and Hell. These and other descriptions of these weird scenes in Revelation are either the ravings of a madman with no true meaning at all, or they are symbolic metaphors which stand for other things, the other things then teaching us a realistic and logical truth. The actual things John describes make no sense at all if we take them in a literal description. So we must know that the description of what John called the New Jerusalem cannot and should not be taken literally. It stands for something else. It is not what it appears, but it is what the vision represents. And it represents something already written about in the older parts of the Bible, as we shall see. Now, I said all of that before we read on in Revelation 21, because I do know there are some who teach that this holy city, the New Jerusalem, is really a monstrous cube building which will be physically lowered from heaven and will sit upon the earth. In verse 16 and 17, it is said to be four square, and its length 12,000 furlongs. So some draw pictures of a great cube city, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high, and they show it sitting on the earth, and they say that is what will come down from heaven at some future time. That interpretation of New Jerusalem makes less sense than to insist the old city itself is that new city with the streets of gold. Most of these preachers neglect to describe what happens to the people and the cities on the earth upon which this heavenly city descends. Does it crush them flat, or does it float above the surface? How about the curvature of the earth? Would that make the cubed city rock back and forth on a 750-mile axis? Or is the underside of it concave so that it fits a 1,500-mile curve on the earthly sphere? My questions, as you realize, are facetious, but I want my listeners to know without doubt the book of Revelation is not actual or literal, but is written in symbolic, metaphorical language, which must be interpreted, and that interpretation must be made from the Bible. In other words, other parts of God's Word will give the reader the clues to correctly interpret the visions of the book of Revelation. Now, with that in mind, let's read more of this description in Revelation 21 of this new Jerusalem. Let's go to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Many churches recognize there is such a thing as a marriage between Jesus Christ, sometimes called the Lamb of God, and an entity called the bride. So whatever John is now going to be shown by the angel, John is given to understand he will see, at least in symbolism, the wife of Jesus Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Verse 10, And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So whatever else this city, the holy Jerusalem, is, it is the bride, the Lamb's wife. And in verse 2 we read, John, saying the new Jerusalem was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. To get back to what we said a few moments ago, the next time someone tells you New Jerusalem is a cube city, 1,500 miles on each side, and it has such and such many rooms, and it is going to sit on the earth, and you are going to live in it, you show him verses 9 and 10, and ask him why the Lamb of God would marry a 1,500-mile-high building and call it his wife. The question is especially pertinent, since many of these same ministers often teach that the whole body of born-again Christians are the bride of Christ. They can't have it both ways. I don't believe the body of born-again believers is going to be molded into a 1,500-mile cube sitting upon the earth. At least I hope not. You can see the trouble one gets into when he tries to take a metaphorical or allegorical story or description from the Bible and make them literal. Anyway, so far we know the New Jerusalem is the bride, the Lamb's wife. It is probably not a monstrous cube building, and it does not seem to be the old city. John continues on in Revelation 21, describing the city which he saw. And to save time right now, and to give you a little less to remember, I will sum up most of the verses. And you may want to write this down or take notes, for I'll be explaining each part of this later in other broadcasts, which will then reveal the correct identification of New Jerusalem. And think with me as I summarize these. God Almighty was not playing the dunce when he gave John this complex vision. Its description must mean something, else why waste John's time, the angel's time, and our own with it? All right, here is a condensed description of New Jerusalem from verse 11 and on. In verse 11, it has the glory of God. Verse 12, it has a wall and 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on the gates. Verse 13, the gates are three on each of the four sides. Verse 14, it has 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verses 15, 16, and 17, the angel measured the city with a golden reed, and the measurements are given. Verse 18, the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold. Verse 19 and 20 list 12 precious stones which garnished the foundations of the city. Verse 21, the gates were of pearl, and the streets were gold. Verse 22 and 23 tell us there was no temple there, but that God and the Lamb are the temple of the city. Verse 24, the saved nations or peoples walk in the light of the city, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 25, its gates will not be shut. Verse 26, the glory and honor of the nations will come into it. Verse 27, nothing can come in which will defile it. The only ones given entrance are those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then in chapter 22, and remember these chapter divisions are not in the original Greek text, they were added for convenience by the translators of the Geneva Bible in 1560 A.D., about 400 years ago. So the description of New Jerusalem continues right on. Revelation 22 and verse 1, there was a river of water of life coming out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2, there was a tree of life, which had 12 manner of fruits, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, no more curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb are in it, and his servants shall serve him. Then verse 4 tells us his name shall be in their foreheads, and verse 5, that God will give them light, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now all of that sounds extremely complicated, and it is, unless one searches the Bible for the truth of it, which you will see is quite simple. I won't have time today to begin examining these parts, but I do want to leave you with a comment as to its location. Notice in verse 24 through 26 that nations, or people, the Greek word translated nations there can also be translated people. Nations or people walk in the light of this New Jerusalem, and kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And that last phrase is repeated in verse 26. And then in Revelation 22, we see that the leaves of the tree which grow in it were for the healing of the nations or of the people. So whatever New Jerusalem is, it is on the earth, and it is something which people can enter and leave. Some ministers read Revelation 21 and 22 and say that is a description of heaven. Some write songs in which they interpret it literally as an actual description of heaven, and they sing about walking on those streets of gold. I am not saying they won't walk on streets of gold, for I will explain that phrase later, but I am saying that any walking they do on those streets of the New Jerusalem will be right here on the planet Earth, for that is where New Jerusalem will be when they walk those streets of gold. John saw it in vision coming down from heaven, and he says kings and people will come and go from it. So God Almighty has given us a vision of something which is or will be right here on the earth. This is Pastor Emery. God willing, I will continue examining Revelation 21 and 22 next week in the light of the Word from other parts of the Bible to give you an accurate answer as to just what the New Jerusalem John saw in vision really is. Just what or both who and what is the bride, the Lamb's wife, called by John, the New Jerusalem. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.